Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, and welcome to History Dweebs, where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. I'm Tim, and the topic of our podcast today is the trick-or-treat killer, Ronald Clark O'Brien. He was a bad guy. He killed a child and tried to poison other children at Halloween down in Texas. And we're going to talk about all his dastardly deeds. But before we do, let me introduce our panel. I'm very proud to introduce a lady that really needs no introduction. The Queen of Mean, the Empress of Evil, the Mistress of the Macabre, pill-popping, penis-loving Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm great, Timmy. How are you?
I'm great. And, of course, Brandy, this is... we have a Halloween podcast we're going to release next week. But right. This will be your last podcast before your surgery.
Yes.
So
it's my swan song.
Well, just for a wee bit. You're just going to be gone for 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have a Halloween special that will come out next week that you participated in. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have a couple weeks without you. And we'll either... Chuck and I will either do a couple of podcasts or we won't, just depending on... our mood, is that it, Chuck? Or our medication?
Basically how our medication holds up.
Yeah. Because we will miss you. We will miss you while you're away, and, the podcast is much better when you're here, so.
Well, there's phones. I mean, you can call me, and I'm sure I'll post things because I'll be high on.
Well, we'll be in contact with you. I just mean for the podcast.
I know, but I'm sure I'll put stuff out.
We might come out to the hospital. Now, what would
be... I'll be doped up on the pain meds.
Would it be a violation of the HIPAA rules if I came out to the operation room and did a live feed from the operation?
I'm going to ask if they'll do that.
Yeah.
I'll ask them.
You know what? You haven't been introduced yet.
Oh,
you're not even here.
I'm rude.
This is Brandy's segment.
I have such a little segment.
Yes, she does.
You do go.
So, Brandy, before we go, and before I introduce our co-host here, do you have any... thoughts, comments before we get started?
No, I'm just ready to go and get this thing over with and move on.
Well, I'm sure that it will go well and you'll be back soon podcasting and making numerous more podcasts with us and winning awards and...
Accolades. Seriously, yeah.
You got a very nice gift.
I did. I got a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful Afghan from Mary Ray, which means I now have two Mary Ray Afghans.
Now, let me ask you about this. Colonel, you can talk on this because I want your advice.
Thank you.
Isn't there immigration laws that you can't just send Afghans to people?
There's Afghan. You can't swing a dead cat around a house without an Afghani.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. I thought that Homeland Security.
He sleeps in a drawer. It's fine.
No, we're just kidding. Mary Ray sent
a
very beautiful UK Afghan. And if you're interested in having her make one for you,
she does good work.
She does excellent work,
and she does our logo.
Yes, she does. She does the History Dweebs logo. Just drop me a message, and if you're on our page, the History Dweebs podcast page, you can just contact Mary Ray directly. She does wonderful work. Thank you very much for that.
Yes. I will be taking one of those to keep me warm.
I'm saying it's coming at a perfect time.
I know. So yeah. One of those will be coming to keep me warm in those cold hospital rooms.
Well, we hope everything goes perfect and that you're back and we're podcasting in a couple weeks with you. Let me also introduce another man who needs no introduction. Man who won't wait for an introduction, mostly.
Clearly.
A man of God, a man of who has a strong moral compass. The Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Not pleased, Timmy.
Why don't I ever get introduced as Reverend? I'm a reverend.
Because you don't practice the Lord's work. You ain't out there doing the Lord's work.
I practice the Lord's work every day.
We do not.
I come and not kill you motherfuckers every day.
We do not. We do not. You know, you're a member. We know you're a member of the Satanic Cabal.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about, Colonel here is a member of a Christian organization.
Mm-hmm. Church of the Latter-day Colonels.
Yeah.
So I'm not pleased today, Timmy.
Why you're not pleased again?
Well, let me tell you. I looked up, I saw a review for our little podcast here.
On iTunes.
On iTunes.
Actually, we got a nice review.
Yeah, but before that one, Ugh Pissed 1233322
wrote, oh, that guy.
Irrelevant chatter. Just tell the facts of the story. Well, here's the facts of the story, irrelevant chatter.
I don't think he probably isn't listening anymore.
No, he might give us a second chance because you know those people.
So you're going to piss him off. So,
well,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you what the facts of the chatter.
They can
here's
only
the
leave
facts
one
of the
review,
story.
So.
Right now, your mama is sharing a can of beans in a tent with a toothless hobo. That's the facts of that story.
Wow.
Okay, yeah. Colonel, you're harsh. A little upset.
And if I ever run into you, I'm going to put my foot so far up your ass that nothing's going to be relevant except me getting my foot out of your ass.
You really take these iTunes reviews seriously.
So here's
there ain't nothing that I say that's irrelevant.
It's a matter of opinion, but aren't you just taking your frustration with Timmy out on this poor guy?
Well, let me tell you another thing.
Projecting, are you?
Well, me and the devil, and it's hard to side with the devil. It's hard to team up with the devil because you're walking hand in hand with evil. But me and the devil, we don't really feel that this show is a democracy, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
We don't feel that our input is, it's neither asked for. Well, our input is not taken because our input is never asked for.
Right.
Unilateral.
Unilateral. You've got a pretty good perspective of this whole situation.
You're basically the Putin of podcasts.
Thank you.
He's a Putinista.
Our Putinista.
Okay.
It's hurtful. Unilateral decisions hurt everyone.
They're only unilateral because I make them by myself.
I understand.
Okay. But we did have a good review on iTunes from...
So hold on. You're just going to disregard my concerns?
As he disregards everything else that we say.
Yeah.
We're not even going to get into... Dottie, because I know Dottie raised some fine boys, and I know Dottie taught you better than this. But
you know what she taught me? When I do a podcast, to put my phone away. That's what she taught me.
And yet there's your sense.
And yet there it is, laying.
But it's not ringing, is it?
Mine's not ringing.
It was. It was.
So anyway, us of the...
Remember what that... what was the title of that review that we got?
Irrelevant chatter?
Yeah, yeah. So are you about done here?
So I see you're taking our concerns seriously.
I am. I am going to put it in committee and send it to a committee, have them review it and make recommendations, and then we'll move from there.
Wait a minute. Is that the itty-bitty-titty committee? the committee?
Here's the problem. Here's how it affects the show, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Is that people, and I know this is so foreign to you that the thought of it is so... out there that you just can't grasp it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some people that listen. Some of our listeners actually like me and the devil.
Oh, I know. I understand that.
Can get through your tone the condescension, the mistreatment. It's just hurtful. It's hurtful.
So what you're telling me is we got listeners that are pretty perceptive.
We got listeners. Some of them are perceptive. Some of them are medicated. If we took a poll,
yeah.
I'd say about 80%. I would guess 80% of our listeners are medicated.
Okay, let's go back to that last review again.
I think it's higher, but that's okay.
Okay. We did get a good, nice review from Fatboy Gardner.
Fatboy Gardner.
He's neither fat nor a gardener.
And you know, that's like the UC Bearcats, Timmy. The bear cat.
They're not a bear or a cat.
A bear cat is neither bear nor cat. It's a marsupial.
Yeah. Because they're fat. Okay. So.
Because they're a mar.
It's a marsupial.
Fucking really? Mm-hmm. That's what. Jesus Christ, Cliff Clavin.
It's neither bear nor cat.
Yeah.
Jesus. It has both in its name.
Yeah.
Fucking amazing. Thanks.
Let's get on to the trick-or-treat killer, shall we?
Who's the Wild Kingdom guy?
I don't know, but Biff always had to go out and fight the lion. Marlon Perkins. And, yeah, a bear cat has a prehensile tail.
Really?
You have a prehensile
means
mouth.
He can hang from a limb with his tail. He can wrap it around things.
I know
and
what
hang.
Prehensile means.
Baby's got back. Baby's got back. Yeah.
Yeah. Possums have those too.
Okay, let me give, before we get into the story, let me give some quick shout outs to our Patreon subscribers, those who support our podcast. We deeply, deeply appreciate it.
We salute you.
We do salute you. Alicia and Chip, Cindy Lou, Bridget, Angelo, Andrew Hepp, Jennifer Siemens, Charlie, Jahara, Brandy McBride, Amber McCain Scoville, and Patty Wooten. Thank you all very, very much for supporting the program. If you would like to support the podcast, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs and you can give a little, you can give a lot, or Colonel.
You can give just a wee bit, just a tiny wee bit there.
We really appreciate it. It helps
cover the cost of
the podcast and Brandy's medications that she's going to need and all that sort of thing. So, I got a couple of emails from Terry Hensley, who recommended a story that I'm going to check out, story that I kind of knew about, but she suggested it. That it would make a cool story, and I'm going to check into it, Terry. And she also thinks Brandy is great.
I am.
Well, yeah. What about the like five or six recommendations me and the devil have made?
Yeah, they all have not been very good. I also like to give a shout out to Emmett, who also sent us a message on our History Dweebs page. I thank both of you very much. Okay, let's talk about the trick or treat killer.
Let's talk about that guy.
Ronald Clark O'Brien.
Three names.
O'Brien spelled O'Brien, in case you're wondering.
So not related to R. O'Brien, who.
No, I don't think
we've
so.
We've got an O'Reilly.
Yeah. We have Brian Snellings.
Yeah.
Byron
Snelling.
You know what? And he just said on the page the other day, please don't pronounce my name to me.
So I'm sorry, Byron. Okay, so let's jump into the story of Ronald Clark O'Brien. Okay, so Colonel, you probably remember the day when we were kids, not that long ago.
Not too long ago.
When you could go trick-or-treating. There was never no concern about someone poisoning candy or putting a razor blade in an apple or anything like that. You just go out and go around to the neighborhood and get free candy. It was like life should be.
The big concern was somebody
sex should
giving
be
you
like that.
You know? Damn apple.
You should be able to walk around and women give you sex.
I hate people who hand out like apples and toothbrushes and shit. Get the hell up out of here.
Oh, yeah, especially toothbrushes. Bullshit. Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Yeah. And they know you're not going to eat an apple because the.
I ain't eat no apple. You should take a needle and inject liquid.
Well, never mind the fact that your mama gives you apples.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you want candy. Okay. But anyway, this idea of a depraved stranger targeting children with tainted Halloween candy is more fiction than fact.
It was always out there when we was a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, it was always out there.
Yeah. They studied it. This sociologist studied this phenomenon for 20 years. University of Delaware professor Joel Best. And he could not find one case where a stranger deliberately poisoned trick-or-treaters. So it's largely a myth, although in this case, it's a true story.
It's a true story.
Yeah.
Although kids, and when my kids, they was little, I always told them it was very easy to poison the Reese cups and the Milky Ways.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I would not let my kid have the Reese cups or the Milky Ways.
Or the full-size candy bars.
Or the full-size candy bars.
Or the cash. The cash.
Yeah.
People give you cash.
I don't know who the hell gave cash out at Halloween. We never got any cash.
People get pennies.
Oh, you know,
we didn't get pennies.
My kids, we moved into a neighborhood that...
we got food stamps in my neighborhood.
Yeah, we moved in to a neighborhood where we live where it was all really original owners of the houses, and they were all getting up there in years. The kids were grown. So we had the only kids on the street. So we would have, and we live in one of those neighborhoods that the houses are not too far apart. People will come from other neighborhoods to trick-or-treat in our neighborhood.
Right.
And our neighbors used to have special Halloween things set aside for our kids because they were the only kids on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And my neighbor across the street, every year, each of the boys got a $5 bill.
Nice.
Yeah. And this neighbor just one day happened to go to the racetrack, put $5 on a horse called Logan's Run.
Mm-hmm.
Horse was going like 25-1 or something like that. He won like $150. Comes home. Gives Logan like half of it.
Nice.
Yeah. Those kids were spoiled when they grew up.
Well, despite the rumors of strangers trying to, poison children or put razor blades in apples or whatever, despite these rumors, as I said, and studies have shown that this just hasn't happened. Now, many communities around the country, believed in this urban legend. And, a lot of them banned trick-or-treating, and some of them, the ones that continue trick-or-treating, a lot of them have certain time frames when the trick-or-treating has to occur, usually before dark.
We do.
Do you in your area?
Yeah, they do up where I'm from, where we always go trick-or-treating. And it used to be we wouldn't have our, we could have our candy X-ray.
Yeah,
X-ray. Or my dad would take it down to the police station, run a metal detector over it.
Yeah.
I don't know how he thought that was going to detect.
Well, and then they also, some places they have parties now, like in community centers.
Well, now they're harvest parties.
Yeah.
Because Halloween's the witch's season.
Halloween is your day.
Yeah. It is my big day.
Mm-hmm. So, although attacks on children, trick-or-treat is rare, if not existent, a lot of people still believe in the urban legend, and they prefer to err on the side of precaution. Sounds reasonable. Now, one real example of a trick-or-treat poisoning occurred on Halloween in 1974, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Let me tell you a little bit about this dude. Ronald Clark O'Brien was born on March 19, 1944, in Deer Park, Texas. And so if he was born on March 19th, Colonel?
Born on March 19th, well... She was carrying. She was with child through the holidays.
Yeah,
4 days after the Ides of March.
Yeah, right after the Ides of March. 2 days after
St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. So Ronald Clark O'Brien.
She was probably drunk.
He came from a good family. He never got into any type of trouble growing up. He did well in high school and went on to study at the University of Texas. October of 1974, he seemed to have it. He'd be living the American dream. He was a successful optician.
Optician.
So he looked at eyes.
Okay. Living with his wife.
Not vaginas.
Well, he probably looked at vaginas as well.
Well, not as a profession.
Well, I was an amateur gynecologist for a while.
I said profession.
I didn't want to lose my profession. I didn't want to lose my amateur status.
That's your
business. You're still doing your continuing education work to keep your
vagina
certification.
Vagina peeping is not an Olympic sport that you need to worry about.
Well, it should be. It really should be.
It should be. You know,
you want to see crowds attend those Olympic events. Look at the one in Brazil. You look at the stadium, mm-hmm. they're half full. But if you put vagina peeping in there, yeah. I'm guaranteeing you, you'll get ratings.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, you got the droopy labias, that point's taken
Stop
off.
Stop talking. Just acting like you know shit. Okay.
You got the labia majora.
Stop. I know my parts.
Major and minor.
Major and minor.
Yeah. It's the minor, like Asia. The minor is smaller.
I always remember, it's like Asia. You got the Asia minora and the Asia minora.
Right. What do you
major
got?
Major or something.
You got nothing. Shut up.
And the little man in the boat.
Oh, my God.
And then the Bigfoot of all female plumbing things, Timmy?
The G-spot.
Yeah. It's been talked about, but nobody
knows. You know why they call it the G-spot?
No.
Because you got to guess where the hell it is. Because nobody knows.
Because even if you had a GPS, you couldn't find that bitch.
I'm questioning whether or not you two could find a vagina with a map and a flashlight. Good God.
Okay, anyway, back to Ronald. So he was seemingly happy, living a middle-class life with his wife, Dana. I believe that's how you spell it, Danae. It's probably like your middle name's all long ago.
Pretentious ass, motherfucker.
Danae and Ronald were married. In 1974, they had two children. Timothy, age 8, cool name. And their daughter, Elizabeth, age 5.
It was the year I was born.
Well, Elizabeth, you know, that was the name of a queen, so that's kind of a cool name.
Sure.
So Timothy 8 and Elizabeth 5. Now, Ronald worked at the Texas State Optical in Sharpston, just outside of Houston. So this is in the Houston area.
Was that in a Sears?
I don't know.
Yeah.
He was a deacon at the Second Baptist Church in his hometown, and he also sang in the choir. And I don't know if he preached to the choir. That's pointless.
Well, right.
But he was in charge of the local bus program, I guess, getting the kids to choir and all that. So he was seen as this respectable, well-liked, respectable member of the community. In fact, many of the other parents in the church would turn to him for parenting and marriage advice.
Oh, jeez.
But despite appearances, Brandy, all was not well in the O'Brien household. Ronald was deep in debt. His car was being repossessed, and he was on the verge of losing the family home, falling several months behind in mortgage payments. He also had outstanding bank loans. In all, Ronald O'Brien was over $100,000 in debt, and the creditors were moving in fast.
Well, now did he lose them? Was he a betting man? Was that his deal? How was
no,
he losing all his
he
money?
Had a lot of different jobs, and apparently he made some bad investments. Chuck is going to get into it later.
I don't know.
Yeah. But tell us what happened the next, Brandy.
So he, you know, everybody thought he was normal, and but he started telling friends that he was expecting to come into some more money by the end of the year that would improve his financial situation.
Oh, thank God.
He was going to get a windfall.
Wonderful.
So around that time, Ronald, being the slickster that he was, increased the life insurance policies on his children, Timothy and Elizabeth.
Okay.
In October of 1974, they were up to $30,000 apiece.
Yeah, on a kid that's 8 years old and 5.
Right.
See, you know what? It makes me nervous every time I talk to the insurance man. Because I know myself... I ain't making a fortune. I ain't making it rain here, Timmy.
He's starting to see you as not a very safe bet. Is that what you're worried about?
Well, no. Nah. Renee seems to place a high value upon me she's talking to the insurance people.
Yeah.
More than you're worth.
I'm worth like $38 alive, and I believe about $380,000.
Never be worth more alive than dead.
I can't even eat the cooking around the house anymore, Timmy.
Yes.
So Ronald also began trying to obtain cyanide, which you couldn't order online.
No, this is 1974. It was probably
this was pre-internet.
Yeah.
First, he tried through his job at Texas State Optical. And later, he went to the Curtin Matheson Scientific Company in Houston.
Hmm. Do they sell cyanide?
I believe so.
Okay.
But they only sell it in large quantities. They told him they only sold deadly poison in large quantities. So you either wipe out a city or you wipe out no one.
Well, you gotta choose.
So the salesperson, being the helpful motherfucker that he was, directed him to where he could buy a more minimal amount.
Okay.
The O'Brien family had spent Halloween, the 31st of October of 1974, at a friend's home in Pasadena, Texas, where Ronald...
Do they have the Rose Bowl there?
They don't.
Oh.
Where Ronald O'Brien volunteered to escort the children on their candy-collecting rounds. So it's trick-or-treating time.
Okay, so he's taking
the kids.
And he's
taking them out.
Taking his kids.
Because he's a good guy.
His kids and the neighbor's kids.
Yeah, because he's a winner.
Okay.
So it was raining, and they just decided they were just going to go to the close houses on their street and come home, because it was raining.
Oh, man.
You know what happened to me one time?
No. So man, after no, visiting...
This true story. One time it was raining real hard.
Mm-hmm.
My mom stopped at the Walgreens, bought us like a 10-pack roll of Lifesavers.
Uh-huh.
Came home and would not let us go out trick-or-treating.
Really? I remember going trick-or-treating in the rain, and we'd have a plastic, or we'd have paper bags, and then the bags would get wet.
Bags would get wet, and candy get... We had always had pillowcases.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you a quick one about that cyanide stuff.
Tell me a little bit about pillars first.
Pillars?
Yeah.
Pillars.
No, stop talking.
Dirty pillars.
No.
Oh, dirty pillars. Angie Song. And her dirty pillars.
All right.
But no, this is cyanide. Let me tell you what it does to you.
What? You know, I leave for 3 weeks.
I was in the staffing business, and I had a company called Green Industries, of all things. And they nickel-plated things. So this guy that was my contact, I swear to you, he looked like a movie character if you made a troll. He looked like somebody, one of those trolls on Harry Potter that worked in the bank. Just like that. And I said, you know, I got a little bit of concern because I've heard that this stuff can eat through your nose. It'll eat through the stuff in your nose. And he said, oh, you know, that's just a rumor. That's just false facts that people talk about.
Did he say this as he's like, blood's coming out of his nose?
No. And then he says to me, plus we have our people checked once a year. I was like, well, forget. Well,
safety now, first.
There's these big cauldrons, all right? You know what cauldrons, of course. Big cauldrons of this steaming-ass chemical that they're using. And you go walk up on this catwalk over the top of them.
Sounds safe.
And he says, here, if you know, you can come. He's giving me a tour, and he's like, well, up there. So he's trying to get me up on this catwalk. I said, no, I ain't going up on the catwalk. He said, no, it's okay. I said, no, it ain't okay. I ain't going up. I don't know what the hell's down in those cauldrons. I ain't walking up on the catwalk. What's wrong with you? And he said, the stuff ain't going to hurt you. I've been working here 20 years, and look at me. And I was like, yeah. I mean, I didn't say out loud, yeah. I just thought to myself, hell yeah, you probably look like Burt Reynolds when you started here. But now you look like a troll live under a bridge because of these chemicals.
Are you getting to something with cyanide?
They finally got shut down because to nickel plate you need to use cyanide. They was dumping raw cyanide into the sewage.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a long way around there.
Yeah, it's like the Radium Girls. Remember they made watches and they used radium?
Yeah.
And to paint the watches, the hands, the face of the watch, and a lot of them died.
Yeah. Yep.
Are we all ready now?
Yes.
Okay, good.
If you get stay on subject. Yeah.
So after visiting a home where all of the lights were off and the occupant failed to answer the door, the children grew impatient and ran ahead to the next home while Ronald O'Brien lollygagged behind. Ronald later told police that someone in the darkened home, who only opened the door a crack, handed him 5 pixie sticks. Which are in tubes full of nasty-ass sugar. They're sour as hell.
Oh, I love the pixie sticks. I want to make clear, we're not talking about the cheap-ass ones they have today in the paper little container. These were the big plastic ones.
The big plastic ones, you can keep them all. They go all night for you.
Yeah.
So he handed him enough, just happened to hand him enough for the children in his group.
It's very nice of him.
He claimed to only see a hairy arm through the door. Now, how fucking ridiculous is this goddamn story? But okay.
We got a wolf man on the street just passing out Big so, tea sticks.
Eventually, so Ronald, I guess not seeing anything wrong with that, caught up with the group and gave all the kids their 21-inch pixie stick.
No.
This, I mean, this is the nice pixie stick.
This was the big-ass pixie stick.
At the end of the evening, O'Brien gave two of the sticks to the neighbor's kids and one to each of his kids, Timothy and Elizabeth. Upon returning home, Brian gave the fifth piece of candy to a 10-year-old boy whom he recognized from his church. So he's a giver.
Yeah, I wonder. I bet someone got stuck with that lime green one or the yellow one.
The yellow one pissed me off.
Oh, yeah.
Because the yellow one just ain't no good.
They should have chocolate. Really? I mean, not red, cherry or strawberry. Or grape or orange.
Even an orange is borderline.
Yeah, it's borderline. You know, they make lifesavers, and you always get those green or yellow ones.
OMG.
Yeah. Now, if the yellow one's
likes the cherry.
If the yellow one's the pineapple one, that's good. Mm-hmm. But if you get the tropical fruit, but god damn, who likes a lemon lifesaver? Who even invented that shit?
I don't know. Probably the same people like butterscotch. Yeah. So anyway,
butterscotch is a upper class.
Here's a little known fact for you. Butterscotch is neither butter or scotch.
Exactly. That's why it's a combination of two. It's a misnomer, Timmy. Butterscotch is a misnomer.
It is a misnomer, like Bearcat.
Yeah, like Bearcat.
Okay, so
you know, I just need to say, you did really well for your first like 3-4 days on those protein shakes. Timmy and I have noticed.
I don't give a fuck what you've noticed. Let me tell you what I've noticed. I've noticed that thing one over there likes to throw up. Hey, you want some pizza? Why don't we go and get some Skyline? Why don't we go and do this?
I was going to ask if you want to go to BW3s today, but I thought that would be out of place.
And then you, just right behind him, you're his fucking Ed McMahon. Nah, that's right, boss. Whatever. Fucking dipshit.
Ew. So,
yeah.
Ew.
Yeah, that's you. Now, all I want to do... All I want to do is get the fuck out of here, go to my house, have this goddamn stomach ripped out, and recover, so I can eat some motherfucking yogurt.
You know, before you do that, perhaps we should go to La Rosa's and have pizza.
Hey-oh! Yeah. Aren't you guys fucking sweet? So
BW3's, I mean, the wings are...
Ew. Well, see, I don't like that anyway. BW3's blows. All right. Or at least the one here blows.
The sandwiches, chicken sandwiches
okay.
are good.
I don't care. So after the kids were finished collecting all the candy, they went back to the friend's house where the kids were allowed to eat a few pieces of candy.
Okay. Yeah, your parents, you go out and get this treasure trove of candy.
I'm not sure why this needs a recap.
And your parents was like, yeah, you can have two.
It was pretty straightforward. Three pieces.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you can't eat it all right.
And they give you those bit of honeys that you can chew on for like a month and a half.
And you know the little son of bitches is sneaking down in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah.
Because you wake them up for school the next day. And they ain't even gone to sleep yet. They're still...
Yeah.
Now, I do got it, but what I was getting to, Devil, and
before she interrupted.
Before you interrupted us and started on your rant and tirade against us, is this story about all the delicious candy, Reese cups, Snickers bars,
Malomars?
Yeah, those kind of...
Milk duds.
Milk duds, mm-hmm. Heath bars.
Mm-hmm. Hey-o!
I mean, is it bothering you reading this stuff? You know, knowing that...
What's bothering me is not punching you in the face. That's what's bothering me right now.
You're eating those things with... Ow! Ow!
See, that is aggressive behavior.
Yeah. This liquid diet is making you mean.
Aggressive would be if I got up out of my chair and went after him. But see, I didn't even have to do that. All right.
See, now you're going to do that, and next week you'll mess up your stitches, so you have to be careful.
Don't you worry about me.
Do you get stitches or staples?
Both.
Can we post a scar?
You cannot. So, they go back to the friend's house. They're going to eat a few pieces of candy. So, one of the little friends reaches for a pixie stick, and Ronald leaps over the coffee table. Because he's not guilty at all.
Well, see, that should raise concerns.
Leaps over the coffee table.
You can't have that fucking pixie stick.
Yeah. The friends thought it was a bit odd, but Ronald said the candy contained too much sugar to be eaten late at night, which I don't know why it's his concern. It wasn't his motherfucking kid, but whatever.
Well, he's a concerned adult.
He's a concerned parent.
So when they get home to Deer Park, Ronald tells his 8-year-old son, Timothy, he can choose a single piece of candy before bedtime. This time, Ronald puts the pixie stick in his kid's hand. Oh, you have this.
You can have anything you want as long as it's this.
Yeah.
So he gives it to Timothy.
Yes,
here
he gives it to Timothy. It's not because it's not too much sugar.
It's like when they tell you to pick a card, any card. They got one sticking out.
4 inches.
And he was so helpful because Timothy couldn't get the candy out of the straw. So Ronald helped him out.
Yeah, that's nice.
Helped him get that out.
He's a concerned parent.
So after tasting the candy, Timothy complained that it tasted bitter. So Ronald, being the helpy helperton that he is, gave him some Kool-Aid to help wash it down.
Oh, man, that's nasty, washing pixie sticks down with Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Timothy immediately began to complain, shockingly, that his stomach hurt and ran to the bathroom where he began vomiting and convulsing. Minutes later, Timothy ran to the bathroom again. Ronald claimed that he held Timothy while he was vomiting, and the child went limp in his arms. He immediately rushed Timothy to the local hospital, but by the time they got there, Timmy was dead.
Aww.
The autopsy...
Those bastards.
Listen
they
to what
killed
I'm saying.
Timmy.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. The autopsy... Not autopsy.
Autopsy.
The autopsy would later show that Timmy died of poisoning. Police did not initially suspect Robert of any wrongdoing until the autopsy revealed that the pixie stick he consumed was laced with a fatal dose of potassium cyanide. The 5 pixie sticks O'Brien claimed to receive were recovered by authorities from the other children.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Including his daughter, none of them had consumed the candy yet. An 11-year-old boy who was given one of the tainted pixie sticks was found asleep in bed later that night, cradling the tube of poison candy in his arms. He had been unable to pry out the staples.
Oh, he was
O'Brien had used to reseal the plastic container.
He was cuddling with death.
The little boy did not have enough strength to get it open, so that's what saved his life.
I know.
Yeah, what happened is the plastic containers, and he resealed them. And when he resealed them, he put
no shit. That's what he did with the staples was reseal it.
Yeah,
to keep the stuff inside.
So
fucking recapped on resealing.
In these pixie sticks were enough cyanide to kill 3 adults.
Well, they're big ass pixie sticks.
Yeah,
you only need to kill one person.
Well, yeah.
Now, he
actually should have killed 2 of them.
No, that's why he did it. It was like what I think happened with the Tylenol murders. I think it was somebody wanted someone dead, and then they just poisoned a bunch of Tylenol so it would make it look like they were just one of the,
We should do the Tylenol murders one day.
Maybe. Let's do this one first. Let's get through this podcast
if we
first.
Could.
Yes.
All right, well... Initially, O'Brien was of little help to investigators. Accompanying police as they searched the Pasadena neighborhood, the 30-year-old father was unable to remember any details of the house where he got the poison candy or the person who gave it to him. Now, police became a little suspicious of his excuses because O'Brien and his daughter had only taken the children to homes on 2 streets because it had been raining.
Yeah, so they had a limited number of places they could check.
Yes. Yes, Inspector Columbo.
Clouseau. I think it's pronounced Clouseau.
So police suspicions increased after.
Let me get this straight. There's a few house. It's raining, and there's rain, and that's water coming down from the sky.
He recapped the resealing of a pixie stick.
And when they go out trick or treating, they only go to a few houses in the neighborhood because it's raining, and they don't want to go too far. And so there's only so many houses these pixie sticks could come from, but he's taking the police around the neighborhood.
If they would have had the Columbo raincoats or the Clouseau raincoats, they could have gone on forever.
Yeah. Continue, Colonel.
Okay. Now, the police suspicions increased after learning that none of the homes in the groups had handed out pixie sticks.
Shocking.
Yeah. Now, O'Brien's story abruptly changed.
You would have been fucked if you gave out pixie sticks that night.
Or you would have been. Pixie sticks are not that popular.
They're popular with the younger crowd.
Mm. How would you know?
With the 7 and under crowd, they're popular.
How would you know?
That's how you think he gets those kids in his van.
That's true. My bad.
Yeah. If you're going above 10, you need to get real chocolate.
Right.
Detective said he suddenly remembered the suspect was a white man and pointed out the home. Of course, there probably was all white men in the neighborhood, so...
That reminds me of a story.
It doesn't.
And I was going to the Philippines one time, and I was on this flight with this guy coming back from the Philippines. And he went over to meet this woman, and he had been talking to her on the internet. He had spent, I don't know, he bought her a computer so they could talk and, you know, whatever. He spent thousands of dollars on this one. So he goes over to visit her, and they go into some store, and he said she wanted to buy her parents a $17 box of chocolates. Now, keep in mind, this guy's already spent $2,000 to $3,000 on this to impress this woman. But he won't pay for the $17 box of chocolate. They get in a big fight, and she dumps him. Meanwhile, he's bought her a computer. He spent, you know, a couple grand to fly over there.
I ain't spending $17 on no chocolate.
Exactly.
Well, I guess he figured they could take the cheaper chocolate. Yeah, they didn't need the Godiva chocolate.
She got them the pixie sticks.
Yeah. Seems kind of uppity.
Well, anyway, so he suddenly remembers there's some white guy. And now, Ronald said he didn't see the owner's face at a home, and there was no lights on, but the door cracked. A hairy arm came out and handed him five pixie sticks.
Five hairy arms. Never trust someone with a hairy arm.
No. Well, it's just the fact that it's in the dark.
I know. Don't
all
you
that comes
see it?
Out is a hairy ass
creaking arms
arm.
Open.
Yeah. It's kind of creepy.
There
isn't
you
it?
Go.
Yeah. With five pixie sticks. Now, investigators tracked down the homeowner. It was Courtney Melvin. He was an air traffic controller at Hobby Airport in Houston. Did not get home from work until 11 p.m. that night. They ruled him out as a suspect when nearly 200 people confirmed he was at work and he did not have hairy arms.
And no planes crashed during that period.
Yeah, so meanwhile, the community rallied around the O'Brien family. Everyone believed there was a crazy person on the loose trying to kill children. At his son's funeral service, Ronald gave a stirring eulogy that brought most to tears.
Yeah, because he was a good guy.
Yeah. But, Timmy.
What happened?
The police remained skeptical.
Hmm.
A few days after Timmy's burial, the police received a call from O'Brien's insurance company to report that O'Brien had attempted to take out life insurance policies on his two children without consulting his wife.
Well, you know. I need to know basis.
He immediately became the prime suspect. After questioning O'Brien's co-workers at Texas Optical, it was discovered he'd been asking around about cyanide. Now, as the investigation furthered, police learned that he was over $100,000 in debt, and in the 10 years preceding the crime, O'Brien had held 21 jobs.
Wow. That's quite a resume.
Jesus.
21 jobs. How in the hell did he even do that? He lived in a small town. Was there 21 places to work there?
How long, for what period of time?
In 10 years.
Okay. So that's, okay. That's not, it's only two jobs a year.
Yeah, well, that's a lot. At the time of his arrest.
That's a lot, but I mean.
He was suspected of theft at the Texas State Optical. He was stealing, what the hell could you steal there? And he was close to being fired.
Those fucking lens grinders are worth a fortune on the black market.
Eye drops.
Are they? Yeah, eye drops, yeah. He was selling black market eye drops. Now, his car was about to be repossessed.
Did Chuck ever say about the time he put...
I know. I was here.
He put breath freshener in his eyes.
I was here.
Yeah.
Now, his car... Now, you know what? I always wondered about this. Mm-hmm. If your car's about to be repossessed, but it's not repossessed, that means it's possessed.
Yeah.
So your car is like Christine.
Mm-hmm.
And we just done a couple on exorcisms. So you need to give exorcism to your car.
Yeah.
But if it's repossessed, you got to do another exorcism.
Yeah. If you buy your car back after it's been repossessed, is it a repossessed?
I don't know. I actually had my car repossessed one time.
How come I'm not shocked by that?
No. I had my car repossessed, and they got the wrong car.
Oh.
I came out, my car was gone. I had a 97 Camry. It was silver. And I came out.
What was this, 2012?
Huh?
Was this 2012?
This was like 2004. I had a 97 Camry. Come out, my car's gone.
Uh-huh.
Just gone.
Right.
And so I thought, who the fuck sold my car? So I called the police and whatnot, and they said, have you called the bank? And, you know, are you up to date on your payments? I said, yeah, I'm up to date on my payments. And the bank had come, sent the guys after a 97 Camry. Yeah, you know, it was a very common car.
Well, it was, you know, a preventive major.
Well, because I used to repossess cars. Mm-hmm. And what people would do.
The repo man. He's a repo
they
man.
They did not pay. You really didn't pay much attention to the license plate numbers.
Uh-huh. Who cares? Slang ramble. It's okay.
No.
No. I mean, how many people have had their car repossessed by mistake?
Of course you have.
I mean, they brought it back to me.
It's kind of like having your living room by mistake.
It is. But anyway, they brought it back to me. I got pulled over in an Amber Alert because of that car one time, too. But that's another day story for another day.
Okay.
But no, I called them and
yeah, and you got to straighten out.
It wasn't. It was actually not my bank that took it. It was
someone a different.
someone had owed, you know, Fifth Third Bank for this car.
Well, how do they track it to know where it's been then?
They told me to call banks. So I called and I was like, "Dude, somebody took my car," and so I got it back. But
that's good.
But anyway, police discovered that O'Brien had taken
out... That's a sweet ride, by the way.
I'll tell you what, 97 Camry with a V6, I didn't get rid of it until I was... I did not get rid of it until...
I was going to say, didn't you just 2 years ago buy a new car?
2012 or something. Yeah. My wife was on me to get a new car for years and years and years. But I liked that car.
All right, continue, Carl.
So police discovered that O'Brien had taken out a life insurance policy on his children in the month preceding Timothy's death.
Yeah, that raises suspicion.
He took out a $10,000 life insurance policy on both children a month before Timmy's death. O'Brien took out a $20,000, an additional $20,000 on both children, despite the objections of the insurance agency. Why in the fuck they sell it to him then? You can't...
Well,
we object to this.
They probably raised eyebrows when you're coming in and taking a big policy out on a 5- and 8-year-old.
In the days preceding Timmy's death, O'Brien had taken out yet another $20,000 policy on each child. He had these kids up to worth $60,000. There ain't a kid out there worth more than $22, and that's if you can get into the penny bank.
Right.
And that's if they're, you know, that's if they can go to the potty by themselves.
Exactly. That's if they can cut grass and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, O'Brien's...
Get you a beer.
Huh? Get you, yeah, exactly.
And get your beer.
So O'Brien's wife maintained that she did not know about the insurance policies. Police also learned that on the morning after Timmy's death, O'Brien, the first call he made was to his insurance company to inquire about collecting on the policies.
Well, isn't that who
Where's his wife all this time?
What, isn't that really who you call is your insurance company? Wouldn't that be your first
call?
That's
your first call.
Yeah. If they drops over Are you going to call 911
yeah,
first?
Yeah, he's down there knocking on the coroner's door. You got that death certificate for me? I need that death certificate. Come on.
I guess I got to call 911 to get all that paperwork.
You son of a bitch.
You think you'd be able to get that online?
Right.
On your phone.
After learning that O'Brien had visited a chemical supply store in Houston to buy cyanide shortly before Halloween, now he did leave without purchasing anything after learning the smallest amount available to purchase was 5 pounds, police began to suspect O'Brien killed his son. It didn't, well, you know what?
Some foul play.
Fucking Sherlock Holmes motherfuckers right there. But he's got 48 insurance policies on the kids. He's buying cyanide. One just got poisoned. Somebody needs to get a damn promotion for thinking that up.
Well, it could have been the guy with the hairy arm.
The werewolf of the neighborhood?
Yeah.
So police theorized that he had laced the candies with poison in an effort to kill his children to collect on their life insurance policies.
Mm.
Christ, even the devil could figure that one out. So they believe that
she's not very bright. Hey-o!
Hey-o! And pretty hungry, too. But
hey-o!
I like the way... You know what I really like, Timmy? I like when she's making the shake and she got to shake it up and it's got that metal ball in it. And she just keeps shaking and shaking and shaking.
Yeah.
You got to see the hand movement, but it looks like...
looks like me shaking a blender ball?
It looks like your pleasure in your cup. That's what it looks like to me.
I don't know why it looks like that.
That's what it looks like.
Get your mind out of the gutter, shit.
So, anyway, they believe the other children, they believe he gave the other children the candy in an effort to cover up his crime.
That's smart.
Yeah. Ronald maintained his innocence and refused to cooperate any further with the police once they accused him of killing him.
He was offended.
Now, although police never discovered where O'Brien bought the poison, the search of O'Brien's home produced a pocket knife, which traces of plastic from the candy packages and powdered candy were found. Police believe the knife was used to open the candy, insert the cyanide. All 5 containers of candy had been laced with enough to kill 4 men. A grand jury indicted Ronald for 1 count of capital murder, 4 counts of attempted murder. He was arrested on November 5, 1974, and entered a plea of not guilty on all 5 counts. His trial began in May. During the trial, a chemist who was acquainted with O'Brien testified in the summer of 1973. O'Brien contacted him asking about how much could be fatal. A chemical supply salesman also testified that O'Brien had asked him how to purchase some cyanide.
Jesus Christ. He wasn't even making a secret about it.
Nah, he was just running around with... He might as well have had a Michael Myers goalie mask on.
Right.
I wonder who the killer is in this one. So anyway, friends and co-workers testified that months before Timothy's death, O'Brien showed an unusual interest in cyanide.
Really, almost any interest in cyanide would be unusual.
You'd think.
And spoke about how much it would take to kill a person. Oh, you know what? What the fuck's wrong with him? Why, he could have just got rat traps and shit and opened up that rat poison.
I don't know.
This is a dumb motherfucker right here. But anyway,
he probably had some issues considering he had 21 jobs in 10 years.
Yeah, 21 jobs, yeah.
And $100,000 in debt. No. Because that's probably close to $1 million today. It was 40 years ago.
Oh, yeah, that was a lot of money back then. O'Brien's sister-in-law, testified that on the day of Timmy's funeral, he spoke of using the money of Timmy's insurance policy to take a long vacation and buy other items. That's not the smartest conversation to have with people.
Go to Bahamas for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I understand that.
So they searched his home and found calculated tape and account log in Ronald's study. The account log compared his outstanding debt to the money he would receive from the insurance. Ronald had the money calculated to the penny. The ledger was dated...
Dun, dun, dun.
2 months prior to his son's death.
Sounds shady, Colonel.
It does sound shady. What do you think, that devil?
It all sounds shady.
Guilty as charged?
Slim shady.
Ronald O'Brien just continued to maintain his innocence. Me? Wasn't me? What are you talking about?
Don't look at me.
His defense drew upon the decades-old urban legend concerning a mad poisoner.
The guy who gives out candy laced with poison and needles and apples and razor blades, whatnot.
The old urban legend defense.
Well, yeah.
If that's all you got, you go for it, but that's a hard one to sell.
On June 3rd, a jury took 46 minutes, less than the required time to get a lunch voucher, to find him guilty of capital murder and 4 counts of attempted murder.
He did offer them snacks, though.
Yeah. It took him longer, just a few minutes longer, 71 minutes, to sentence him to death.
There you go.
They've heard enough.
Now, shortly after he was convicted, his wife filed for divorce.
Shocking.
She later remarried, and her new husband adopted her daughter, Elizabeth. Ronald O'Brien was confined to the Huntsville unit in Huntsville, Texas. While at prison, Ronald was shunned and despised by his... He was shunned and despised by fellow death row inmates for killing a child.
Now, if death row inmates looks down on you,
mm-hmm. They have a code.
I wonder if Elizabeth was ever allowed to go trick-or-treating again. I guess not.
She didn't take no shit from hairy arm people, that's for sure.
Stay away from pixie stick.
Yeah. So inmates reportedly petitioned to hold an organized demonstration on his execution date to express their hatred of him.
So the death row inmates organized.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they formed a little union. It's the He-Man Ronald Haters Club.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to, I guess, have a party when he got the juice or whatnot. Mm-hmm. Now, Ronald's first execution date was set for August 8th, 1980. His attorney petitioned for a stay. And the second date was set for May 25, 1982. That was also postponed. A third execution date...
Jesus, why?
A third execution date for, ironically, October 31, 1982, the 8th anniversary of the crime...
Oh, that would have been poetic justice.
Yes. And the judge personally offered to drive O'Brien to the death chamber.
There we go.
Really? I don't want to put you out.
Yeah. Right.
I'll take the bus. I'm good.
It was to have been the first time Texas executed an inmate by lethal injection.
Oh.
They was going to put a cyanide-laced pixie stick deep up his ass and see how long it took him to convulse and quiver and vomit. But anyway,
so like wash it down with Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Wash it down. Give him a Kool-Aid enema. M&M's.
Sure.
Enema. Thank you.
So the Supreme Court delayed yet again to give O'Brien a chance to pursue an appeal to seek a new trial. I got a question. I don't know if this, we're almost to the end of this, and I'll try to wrap it up. Enemas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't really get how they work.
Why is this a topic?
I don't get how they work.
What do you mean you don't get
okay,
out of work?
You're filling stuff up, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're pumping water into your ass or whatnot, some kind of liquid. But couldn't the water back up and come out of your throat? What's stopping the water?
Well, we have Brittany, who's a nurse. I'm sure she'll be able to.
Brittany, explain where the water from enemas stopped for us, would you please? Well, I was just wondering that, because then you'd have, kind of feces backing up into your throat and whatnot.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, think about that.
I don't want to think about it. Continue.
Okay. So a fourth date was scheduled for March 31st. O'Brien's lawyer saw the
Hey-o.
First day.
First of all, he's Ed McMahon. I don't know why you all of a sudden taken to that.
He got a forced stay on the basis that lethal injection was a cruel and unusual punishment. A federal judge read it, stamped rejected on the request, Timmy. On March 31, 1984, shortly after midnight, O'Brien was executed by lethal injection at the Huntsville prison, Timmy. In his final statement, O'Brien maintained his innocence, stating that the death penalty was wrong. He added, "I forgive all, and I do mean all, to those who have been involved in my death."
What was his final meal? Did he get
God bless sticks? You, and may God blessings be always yours.
Sweet.
During the execution, a crowd of over 300 demonstrators gathered outside the prison, including the men on death row, and in the prison realized that the death row guys weren't allowed outside. At the prison.
Yeah.
Had to bring them back
in. That's some kind of violation.
Yeah.
But they was yelling, trick or treat, when he got the juice. So, and others showered anti-death penalty demonstrators with candy. He's buried in Forest Park Cemetery in Webster, Texas. Timothy is buried in Forest Park Lawndale Cemetery in Houston. Wow. So he's the pixie stick murderer. He got his just desserts, Timmy.
He became known as the candy man and the man who run trick or treat.
Yeah. And it did not say what his last meal was, but Mike, what do you think he would get for his last
pixie meal? Pixie sticks.
I would say a Big Mac, fries.
For mine.
Some strawberry pie. Hey-o.
Hey-o.
What would you... Okay, devil. When they told you you had to go on a liquid diet and you had one meal left, did you even consider it? Did you think about what you was going to eat, what you ate?
Went out and had a steak.
Did you?
Yes.
Is that what you did? Did you get some fries and that? What did?
Steak and baked potato.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. Dessert. Did you get dessert?
How was it?
It was good.
Good.
It was good.
Now compare that to your protein shake.
I don't think I need to.
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
Okay.
So, no. You can tell. I mean, me and Timmy can tell. You look like you lost a fairly good amount of weight to me.
Yeah, you have lost weight.
Uh-huh.
I mean, is the liquid diet thing just not feasible over the long term, or...?
Do you think it's feasible to not eat anything over the long term? How fucking ignorant is that?
Well, here's the thing.
Why the fuck would I do that for
the
long term?
They say if you're not taking in enough calories, your metabolism's going to slow down and you can't lose weight. Then how do people starve to death, Colonel? Well, there is a fucking question for you. What about Auschwitz?
Auschwitz.
No.
Dachau.
Dachau. Treblinka. No, they did say, one nutritionist will often, crassly reference that if you want to talk about slowing down metabolism and whatnot and everything else, those prison camps are a perfect example of what a lack of calories will do to your body. Lack of nutrients, it wastes away.
And we're not making fun of that.
No, but nobody had thyroid conditions and people do have the conditions, but it's, dieting and eating is so weird.
It's almost like you have to have a balance.
Yeah.
It's almost like you
have to diet and exercise.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah, that's
completely fucked up.
Okay. Yeah. So, exercise is like 1% too, like you're losing weight.
Yeah, I'm on the treadmill for my treadmill shows me what I'm doing. I'm on that treadmill, I got sweat dripping off my nose and everything else. I've been on
scrotum.
Yeah, my scrotum's all soaking up and soaking wet. I got to take a shower, and I looked down on the thing. I burned off, 220 calories.
Like one of those mints.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, exactly. And it's like, what the fuck did I do that for?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not fair.
And you know what? How many times you see a chubby mailman?
You never. They walk all the time.
No, my mailman come wild on down the street, his belly bigger than his bag.
All right.
Well, yeah, I watched this documentary where they took these people who led sedentary lifestyles and prepared them to take part in the Boston Marathon. They did it over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And they all finished. There's 12 of them. Or 12 of them started. 11 of them finished the marathon. They went all the way through for the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
And so the marathon is, 23 miles? Do you know how much weight they lost on average?
How much?
5 pounds.
No kidding?
Yeah. It just shows you that it's if you're talking about losing weight, it's mostly diet.
Well, and they said that having your weight is not... People can be very... you can be very healthy and have a higher weight than thinner people. You can be healthier than thinner people.
Yeah. Okay, Brandy, what's your final thought on Ronald Clark O'Brien, the trick-or-treat killer?
Guy was a dick.
Do you think he should have poisoned him with a Snickers bar?
No, I think the 50 sticks thing was brilliant.
Strawberry pie?
Ayo!
I'm done talking to you. We're going to be late for our live show.
Okay. Okay, Colonel, Brandy, you have any shout-outs?
I do. I have one shout-out today. It's for Angie's friend, Lynn. Mm-hmm. Angie asked that we give her a shout-out. She recently got married to a lovely lady.
Congratulations, Lynn.
Named Amy. Congratulations. So, giving them a shout-out. And then Chuck can do the rest.
Okay. All right, Chuck.
And well, thank you, Mary Ray.
I got my shout-outs. Of course, I always start out. Who do I always start out with, Timmy?
Just do it.
Tasha.
Tasha, yeah, the lovely Tasha.
Lovely Tasha, who during the murder I'm going to be protecting.
Okay. Don't go into that, but go ahead.
Well, I just told her on the page. I promised I would
not let anything happen to her. Okay, we have a History Dweebs, the podcast page, where we interact with our listeners. If you would like to get shout-outs, please join us on History Dweebs, the podcast page.
Jeff Girdley.
Yes, Jeff.
Sam Hildebrand.
Sammy.
And let's see, Jennifer and Linda.
Hi, Jennifer and Linda.
Missy Dean Horton, Brittany and Chris, Celine. Brittany, you got to let us know what happens to the enema juice. We don't know where it stops.
Yeah.
Jeff
don't
Chestnut.
Say me.
Well, don't worry. We'll once we get the information, we'll get it to you at the hospital.
We'll give it to you at the hospital. Yeah, yeah. They'll probably give you an enema at the hospital.
We'll text you.
You'll probably get enemas every day at the hospital.
Nope.
Teresa Slavin.
Hi, Teresa.
Tommy Boom Boom.
Tommy Boomershine.
Tommy Boomershine. Chanda and Larry.
Hi, Chanda.
The whole Trowbridge clan.
Yes.
Colton.
Yes.
Phyllis Monson.
Hi, Phyllis.
The lovely Aaron Wentz. Donna Curran and that handsome dog of hers. Brian and Lisa Lawton. Let's see, we got Olivia Meyer here. Fallon. Katja.
Hey, Katja.
Katja. Sandy September. Don't forget about her. Bridget Clavey.
Hey, Bridget.
Brian. Byron. But see, now you got me fucking
Byron.
Things, Timmy.
I'm sorry,
Byron. Byron Snellings.
Yeah, hi, Byron.
Denny Mack. How you doing?
Denny McNamara.
William Trow.
Hey, William.
Amber Krupp.
Amber.
And Gina Mickey Spillane.
I really got it wrong. You are Ed McMahon.
Ayo!
Trixie.
Trixie.
Stephanie Quicken, Sydney and Michael.
Out there, all of them out there in California.
Yeah, we got a lot of West Coasters out there. Jamie T. Tarantino.
Yeah, hey, Jamie.
Laura Baba O'Reilly. Gabby Lewis. Sunstar. Tara V. My favorite Bond girl.
Bond.
Jean Bond.
Jean Bond.
Lydia, of course. Brandy McBride. Maggie Glover. Jeff Appel. Christine Bourgeois. Katie Moorhead. And I have never made a comment on that. Mary Ray, of course. We've got the two Heathers, Heather Poole and Heather Hall. Mm-hmm. Rebecca Montanley, Mike Eisenhower, Daniel Fredrickson, Andy Sparacio, Valerio Bishop, Nancy Palomino, that's not a real last name, as close as I can get, Kim Kamikaze.
And that one isn't either.
That's not either. Jennifer Hawkins. Got some new listeners here. We got Sammy James. Sammy James, I believe, is probably a Brit. Yoel Handler. Eddie Rushing, and I've been working on this one to get it right, Timmy. Mm-hmm. Sunayana Satish Adanki.
Oh, that sounds good.
Sunayana Satish Adanki.
As close as you ever get.
If you heard that one, Sunayana, let me know how close I got there. Now, of course, we can't go out without talking about the ladies in Colonel's Corner.
Okay.
Angie Ball, mm-hmm. Nicola, Allie, of course, and
Charlie comes along with Allie. You know what? I looked at her name and looked at her name because I've been calling her Sarah Spaghetti. I'm trying to get it right. But the best I can come up with, she's going to be Sarah Mimosa from now on. Mm-hmm. Her last name looks like Mimosa.
Okay.
So Sarah Spaghetti and now Sarah Mimosa. Jen Burdick. Happy birthday to your dad, Jen. Karen Barnes. Janet Fitzgerald. Frances Doughton. Jessica the Grip Williams. Because Jessica's a massage therapist.
Oh, okay.
Jessica can straighten out your bones if she has to.
Yeah. And well, Cindy Lou's a roller girl. She can straighten out your bones, too.
Yeah, she can break your bones, and Jessica can yeah. fix them.
And then roll over you.
Amanda Bocce Ball.
Mm-hmm.
And one of somebody who I will talk to now and again, I just found out we got to congratulate Trish Hillett.
Oh, yeah, okay.
She got a new job.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah.
So she's, I guess, no longer hanging out with the hobos. Okay. Well, I don't know what she was doing before. Maybe she, you know, I don't know. And I don't know what a new job is.
Okay.
But she got a new job. So congratulations to you.
You got Kate McCarthy in there.
Kate McCarthy.
Elise.
I got Celine. Elise.
Celine.
Hold on.
Mary Ray.
Lady Beverly.
Lady Beverly.
I'm getting.
There's my girl, Lady
Why
Beverly.
Why are you throwing these at me? I'm
because you're taking too
yet.
Goddamn long.
Lady Beverly.
Mm-hmm.
You know you have our hearts here. Celine, of course, right? And Tiffany, did I say the Tiffinator?
Tiffany, of course. Tiffany and Bo.
And that's who am I missing then, Tim?
That's it.
If I missed you, give me a shout out on the page and say, hey, Colonel, you missed me.
Okay.
And of course, the one, the only, the irreplaceable.
Let's go.
Dottie Scott.
Yes. Hi, Mom. Okay, Brandy, where can people find us?
They can find us on Facebook.
Not that anyone really would want to anymore.
Well, they can find us on Facebook.
Yes, we have two Facebook pages. One is History Dweebs, and then the one where we interact with listeners is History Dweebs, the podcast. So it's a group, so please join us. And all the folks that we give shout out to, most of them are on that page. We have a lot of fun and frolic there.
Yes.
So History Dweebs, the podcast. Where else?
Twitter.
Twitter at HistoryDweebs1.
iTunes.
Please leave us a review. Please leave us a good review. If you leave us a good review, we'll give you a shout out. If you leave us a bad review, the Colonel's going to get upset.
And Stitcher.
Stitcher and any of the podcast apps out there.
And Twitter.
You said Twitter.
Yeah. Okay. Then that's it.
Okay. Okay. Any final words of wisdom, Colonel?
No, just don't take the pixie sticks.
We want to wish everyone a very happy Halloween. We got one more Halloween podcast that will be out next week, so look forward to that. And we're probably will have a couple of podcasts with just me and the Colonel until Brandy is back. But we'll try to limit those. But we'll put a couple out there just until she gets back and she can bring her own unique perspective to the podcast. And then you can eat real food then.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.